comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet, thanks for being here at Talk Radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. We're here because you have a right to know. Tomorrow is K-Files Day. That's our free weekly newsletter. If you're not subscribed, get over to my website and look right in the middle of the screen, and you'll see K-Files. Click that. And subscribe, all right? Then you can start getting our free weekly newsletter. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. And like I said, it's free. There's no reason to be in the dark. We will be having a special broadcast on Saturday in the members area. Now, we have these from time to time. We had one last week. We don't have one every week, but it happens that we do have one again this week on Saturday. A special broadcast for the members, and you want to be sure that you have joined the members area. It's not expensive. It's only 23 cents a day, and that comes out to $6.95 a month. Even less expensive if you go quarterly, and less expensive yet if you go annually. So be sure you have joined up by then and you get in on the special broadcast. We'll be showing a film that is really, really, really impressive. Tomorrow night will be open line night. And so you want, you know, we've had a lot of great guests already this week. Another one for tonight. Jot down a note or two about questions or comments you have about any of those programs or any other topics that we haven't covered this week but are of interest to you. Tomorrow night is going to be open line night. It will be BYOT, bring your own topic, and I look forward to hearing from you. Now, tomorrow night, those of you who are members and who are accustomed to watching the show on your mobile devices, that link on our website in the members area, that link for watching on your mobile devices will not be active Friday night. There is a scheduling conflict with another broadcast. So, but you can watch by going to our Ustream channel and watch it from there, okay? So all that's for tomorrow night. But it's just for tomorrow night, and then it'll be back, all right? Tonight, we're going to be talking about alternative energy with someone who's truly an expert in the field, truly someone who is a leader and a real presence in the field of alternative energy. I think all of us, and especially those who are interested in UFOs, want to see alternative energy released to the public. I think all of us want to see viable ways of getting away from petroleum and nuclear energy, ways to provide the energy we need without endangering our lives so drastically as does petroleum and nuclear energy. Well, we're going to talk about that with Sterling Allen right after this.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, and tonight we are talking about alternative sources, alternative forms of energy. Now, we all know that the current, well, shall we use the word paradigm, the current situation of using petroleum as the world's primary energy source is neither sustainable nor healthy. For most of my life, there's been an ongoing debate about nuclear energy, with the primary concerns being safety and then the problem of what to do with all of that nuclear waste. There have been, over the years, tremendous advances made in the safety of nuclear power plants. But recent events in Japan have reminded us that Mother Nature can nullify our best plans in an instant. So just what is the answer to our dilemma here, if there is an answer? And if there is an answer, I suspect our guest this evening knows the answer, or at least can point us in the right direction. My guest is Sterling Allen. He is the CEO of Pure Energy Systems. Sterling, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Hi, Kevin. And indeed, there are not only one solution in the hopper, but actually several that we are looking to emerge this year in commercial variations that will provide amazing solutions to the energy dilemma.
Sterling, before we get into those, I'm curious. I read your biographical information. You got involved in new energy in 2002, and then from there it just sort of crescendoed to the point where you're really a major presence in new energy these days. What is it in 2002 that sort of shifted gears for you and propelled you into new energy?
Prior to that, I was involved in the political arena, religion and politics, getting ready for the world falling apart, so to speak, and doing political polemic. And the problem was that was not providing a living. I was supporting a family, and I wanted to get into something that would be something that could bring in some income, but also something I believed in. And I got involved in a magnet motor claim out of South Africa. And unfortunately, at the time, that also wasn't bringing in revenue, but I was able to somehow, just living off food storage and just, you know, hunkering down, so to speak, and just doing what I believed in. And the magnet motor technology was very interesting, and that's what got me started, this all-magnet motor, pairing the magnet motor that many of your audience may have seen on the YouTube, where you have these two clamshell stators that come in, and the rotor starts spinning at pretty good speed. That was a very interesting technology, and there actually are technologies along those lines that we may see come to market this year, next year. This year, if we're lucky, next year, hopefully something along those lines would emerge. But that's actually not in my top 10. Or top five that we'll be talking about tonight.
Well, you've, as I said, you've actually become quite a presence in new energy, having founded several companies and organizations and websites. One of the activities in which you are engaged is energy news. Obviously, then, you would be on top of what is taking place with the nuclear power plants in Japan, and frankly, it to me is sounding more ominous daily. It doesn't sound as if they're really getting a handle on it. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, we actually published a story yesterday, last night, on the Fukushima power plant, and this is according to official news sources. They are acknowledging that the Fukushima plant has met or surpassed the Chernobyl level of disaster, which was ranked at a 7 on their scale, and nothing's ever gone worse than that. Well, now Fukushima is surpassing that in terms of the level and volume of radioactive particles that are being emitted from that and being disseminated into the environment and the surroundings. So it's a very, very bad situation, and we definitely need to keep an eye on that. And there are, fortunately, some solutions that, unfortunately, they are not paying attention to in terms of nuclear remediation and even health things that you can do to mitigate what's happening health-wise, what could happen health-wise.
Well, there's some very disturbing stories as well coming out of Japan about people who have been evacuated from the danger zone, the immediate danger zone. And they, you know, their homes have been wiped out. They've been evacuated. And when they try to go to one of the shelters for people, you know, because of the tsunami, they're being turned away because people are afraid that they may be radioactive. And so they're being turned away. And in some cases, it's little children who have no parents, whose parents were wiped out in the tsunami. Very disturbing stuff going on there. All right.
Yeah, the frustrating thing to me about this is that we didn't need to have that polluting source of energy. These kinds of technologies are not just newly discovered. There have been technologies that have been around for a century that could have been used instead of polluting sources and nuclear, but even playing catch-up, there are technologies emerging now, some of which are nuclear, that are clean nuclear, do not use radioactive elements coming in and do not produce nuclear waste coming out. There are cold fusion technologies that are developed and going commercial now, that by October there's going to be a 1 megawatt system that will be installed in Greece using cold fusion technology, where nuclear, where there is a non-nuclear nickel and hydrogen being combined to form copper on the outside end. And this is a 10 kilowatt system that has been demonstrated at the University of Bologna in Italy and is being manufactured in Miami that is going to be coming online. And there are other technologies of that ilk that definitely need the attention of the people of the world, because they work and they're very clean.
Well, you know, in some cases, this new technology has been kept away from us by energy companies, by oil companies, gas companies, electric companies who are bound up very tightly with oil companies, and so forth. Of course, you expect them to act in their own best interest. However, they've also found a great deal of cooperation from very willing, if either corrupt or stupid, politicians to help keep down the development of these new energy sources and means. What is
that
it?
That's definitely gone on. Here's a statistic that I learned just last month from the Brookings Institute and the American Institute, American Enterprise Institute. In industries in general, spend on average, these are all industries, they spend 3.1% of their budget on research and development. Communications industry spends 25.6% of their budget on research and development. Look at all the amazing things that come, the iPhones and et cetera, that come in the communications industry. Software spends 15% of their budget on research and development. Pharmaceuticals spend 11.9% of their budget on research and development. Guess how much the energy industry spends on research and development?
I wouldn't have a clue.
0.3%.
They're well satisfied with what they've got then.
Well, yeah, and they also probably spend at least that much on suppression of emerging technologies to keep their ascendancy, so to speak. And so one of the things I see and have seen in the since 2002, when I've been immersed in this field, over and over, these inventors are just, they need money. They need research and development funds, and they don't get it. And it's really sad. But notwithstanding those great obstacles that they're working against, being very minusculely funded, they still, there have been technologies that are still emerging that are far better than what we have available right now.
Now, you mentioned this new process that uses nickel and I forget what else, but it's developed by a scientist in Italy, and it has been sort of making a splash a little bit in the news. What is it about this one that it's going to be able to get off the ground? It's being built, and it's going to be installed in Greece. What is it about this one that it can get off the ground and others have not been able to?
Well, if you use the analogy of the many, many sperm that finally pregnate an egg, so to speak, there are a lot of attempts that are made before one is successful, and all it takes is one.
Mm-hmm.
But we're saying tonight that there are actually several that are emerging that are looking to go commercial this year.
All right, let me ask you this. I have nothing against Greece, nothing whatsoever. But why Greece instead of the USA? How come the USA hasn't jumped on this and said, oh, wait a minute, we want one of those?
We have a saying on our website, he who is one step ahead is a genius, he who is two steps ahead is a crackpot. When I made that statement in the presentation in Estonia a couple of years ago, somebody from the audience, who would know, quipped, he who is one step behind is the government. And I would argue, along the lines of what you were saying earlier, that there are efforts actually, that it's not just a matter of bureaucratic craziness. It's actually more a matter of conspiracy, I would argue, that the conspiracy that's taking down our planet right now with the Federal Reserve and the Ben Bernanke and Freddie Mac, all that stuff, is done by design. And the control of the oil and energy industry is, in many regards, could be argued is at the root of their control over us. Because if we have control over energy, if we are able to power our own homes and our own vehicles without stopping for fuel, they lose their control over us. It's very empowering to have your own energy system.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been in their interest to maintain their control to fight against the emergence of these technologies. But the thing is, in our benefit, that there are so many ways to get out of that control that they just cannot keep on top of it. The human spirit is going to win here, and that's what's happened here. They're not going to be able to stop everything. And with the attention that these guys, limited though it is, that they're getting, you know, they just can't stop every last technology that's emerging. We are going to win in the end. And we are in process of emerging and winning right now.
Well, the current world system is, and you've alluded to this, is based on basically petroleum. It's based on controllable energy. That means all kinds of controls on the production of petroleum and thus and then petroleum products. All kinds of controls on nuclear energy, all kinds of controls on coal and natural gas. So all of this is controllable energy. And the current world system is based on that. And it isn't just in the United States. So you have pretty much a worldwide grip, a worldwide, I guess you could say, motivation for virtually every government of the world to hang on to this old technology, because it is the major part of their grip on power. Having said that, I've said on this show, and I say it here again tonight, we're watching the current paradigm in its death spasms. It's losing control of a lot of things, and we're watching its death spasms. What do you think about that, and what implications does that have, if it's true? What implications would it have for these emerging technologies?
Well, you know, it's a shout of hallelujah, so to speak, if these guys finally do have a death spasm and come to an end. I don't see that we're necessarily close to their end in terms of months, but years, definitely, in the next, I think, 1 to 3 or 4 years, hopefully we will see these huge conspiratorial forces coming to an end. And I'm hoping that symbolically, so to speak, the Mayan 2012, December 21st, will definitely signify a turning point of the end of the central authority and control to the emergence of a very enlightened individual responsibility type of emergence of that we will see a transition. And whether or not that is the turning point, you know, it may be much more gradual, or it may be, you know, very violent. Hoping it won't go to too much violence, but there is handwriting on the wall that what we saw in Cairo and that we're seeing around the world in terms of the unrest will be coming to America, and we're going to see a lot of problems here as what has been the bastion of freedom through the last century. We're going to see a meltdown here in the United States, and it's not going to be pretty. But that has been one of my motivations over the years, has been to help bring awareness of these technologies forward so that people realize there is hope and there are solutions. And I would love to see an open source technology come forward that in a matter of weeks could enable and empower the people of the world with the ability to not only know of the technology, but to build.
All right, we have to step away for a break, and we will be back right after this break. More with Sterling Allen. Listening to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Sterling Allen. We're talking about alternative energy sources, methods, and means. Sterling, let me ask you this now. I was talking about that. You know, I think we're coming. We're seeing the death spasms of the current paradigm. I don't think that we are. That it's going to be over next week. And I don't think that this means that the sun's going to rise on a glorious new and euphoric day anytime soon. What to me it implies, you know, a lot of animals, when they begin to go through their death spasms, become more dangerous. And so I think it may actually become more difficult and a little bit more dangerous as we go through this. But we do have this particular technology that you've mentioned coming out. It is pretty amazing. I've read about it, and the inventor of it says, you know, the best thing about it is, you know, it produces all this energy, but then when you're through, there's no radioactive waste, and that's excellent. We've just heard from Japan last week about them releasing into the ocean 2.5 million gallons, I believe it was, 2.5 million gallons of radioactive water because they had no other place to put it. And so they just poured it in the ocean. That's not good for anybody on this planet. So, you know, the idea that we could have energy production at a very low cost and have no radioactive off-casting seems to me like every government on the planet would want to jump on this. And I'm a little bit amazed that it's going to be happening, apparently, only in Greece.
It's not going to only be happening in Greece. That's where it's that first 1 megawatt power plant is actually going to be a production facility where they will be now cranking out 300,000 units a year to start out with. And this last week, they actually announced an agreement in the United States with an interest, and there are people from around the world licensing this technology, standing in line to get involved in this technology. This first plant that is going to be manufactured is actually on Andre Rossi's nickel. He is not getting financing, and he's not losing control of the technology. This first demonstration plant is going to be basically, there's no strings attached, so to speak, because it's his money that he's earned from previous projects he's been involved with. Now, I think that speaks to his credit, because once that plant is demonstrated, now he will take money from all the people who are standing in line to buy units, to build production facilities, and to put up money for these license agreements that they will have. He will not accept money until then, and I think that really speaks to his credit, that this is not a fraudulent money-making scheme, because he's not taking money.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. And so this new plant that he's building, the one in Greece, is really going to be sort of the showroom. It's sort of the demonstrator for everybody to be able to come and see, yeah, it works, and then they can invest, then they can buy.
Right.
That's a good plan.
The manufacturing plant is powered by the technology they are making.
All right. Now, you said that while this one is impressive, it's not number one on your list of emerging technologies. Well, with the world getting into the shape it's in, it kind of is emergency technology coming to our rescue. Okay, so what's number one?
I'd like to address the question that you started out with here after the break, or you use analogy of, you know, in the death throes, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I like the analogy of the addict, let's say, for example, a rage addict who is beating up on his wife and she wants out, and we are to the point of crisis where the wife has been working with the husband, he continues to be abusive, she wants out, and this is when it gets most dangerous, because he is losing control, he sees that she's not going to put up with it anymore. This is when the wife can end up dead. But this wife is not going to end up dead, to use an analogy. She is going to free herself from his clutches, and as she does so, that is when he is the most dangerous and the most scary. He needs to go into a program, he needs to go into recovery or whatever. But if you look at the behavior of these conspirators, whether it's in money or oil or energy, they're acting like the addict who is going spiraling out of control, and they realize it. They know that they have a problem, and they're basically about to hit the wall, so to speak. And we are going to come out of this alive and healed. There is going to be, you know, a new world that's going to emerge, but it's not going to be easy to get to the other side, so to speak.
All right. I think that's a good analogy. As a matter of fact, having spent a great portion of my adult life as a cop and having to deal with those guys, I think it's an excellent analogy. Okay, describe for us the top five technologies, energy technologies, that you see emerging.
Okay. Just a really quick snapshot. And I will say that there is one or two that are not on this list that I'm not at liberty yet to talk about. So these are the ones that we can disclose publicly. And at the top of the list publicly is this one we've been talking about, Andre Rossi's cold fusion.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood. I thought you said it was not at the top of this list.
It's at the top of the public list.
Mm-hmm.
There is a technology that I know of that is even better than this one in terms of its ability, the price point, the ease of manufacture, the amount of power that it produces, the portability of it. Rossi's technology is excellent, but there's one that's even better than that.
Okay, good enough. All right, so yeah, what's number two?
It may go open source.
Okay.
So, you know, I say that as a teaser, and I hope that you know, it's not just going to be a disappointment. But the next one on the list I have as Ismael Avizo from the Philippines. He has a self-charging electric car. He demonstrated this last December, January-ish, driving this car back and forth in his garage and then going around town. He drives around the church parking lot. And you have a 12-volt battery that is keeping a 11-kilowatt DC motor running. They get out every once in a while, and they put the meter on the DC on the battery, and it's 13 volts. And you shouldn't be able to run a 11-kilowatt DC motor even for a few seconds on a DC on one 12-volt battery without just really socking it to it, dropping the voltage and running it out of power. And yet they keep going and going and going, and it stays at 13 volts because on board is one of these Tesla-like antenna circuits that draws electrostatic energy from surroundings. And not only that, but in February, after a couple of months of working with the Philippine Department of Energy, they actually pulled together a team to validate this specific to this technology. They had engineers, scientists, people who would have the necessary credentials to witness it and to sign off on it. They saw it, and they measured that when it was running off of the wall power, that the DC motor was 46% or 45% efficient, which is about what you would expect for that. It was a forklift battery.
Mm-hmm.
But then, after when they tested his system, when his system was running the DC motor, it ran at 133% efficiency. More energy was being produced than was being consumed, according to their measurements. And this was on a dynamometer in a controlled setting, witnessed by the Philippine Department of Energy, which is phenomenal. And he's got other technologies as well that he's working on. He's extremely prolific. We just reported on him a couple of days ago, something that he's doing, where he was running an AC motor on a DC battery.
I read that article on your website, and that's fascinating.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
He's doing a demonstration, a video where he's going to be showing that as well. There's some private stuff going on. He's looking for some investor input. If any one of you has about $1 million, talk to me, and we can see about getting you in on a private demonstration. It'll be coming up here in about a week. He's also got a motionless electric generator where there's no moving parts involved. You know, there's no DC motor involved, for example. And that one looks really promising. And the thing I really like about this guy is he's just solid of the earth kind of guy. I mean, here he is down in the third world conditions in the Philippines, in his neighborhood, and he's got a technology that completely changed the planet. It's a $1 trillion technology, if he was trying to be a trillionaire. And he wants to just get this out and help mankind. And he does have some great people coming aboard helping and moving things forward. I really do think we will see this thing go commercial this year as well. And if he had his way, there would be 1 million installation facilities by the end of the year. We're not even saying within the year. We're saying by the end of 2011.
Okay, now, this technology as it stands right now could be used, I think you said primarily for, you know, an electric car. But what about generating power for your house? Would that be possible?
Yep.
With the same technology?
With the same principle. It's not the same iteration. There's going to be probably the MEG, the motionless electric generator, would be the one powering a home. He's got also a version of it that could replace the power in a power station. And that will take 2 or 3 years to develop and to ramp it up, using what he calls a repelling force. But this guy is really, really an amazing inventor, and he's got a great spirit about him. Definitely one you want to follow, and we're following it very carefully. I've got 3 emails from him this evening.
All right. So what would be your third system?
The third one on our list is a hydroxy/water power technology. In fact, just speaking, I just got a Skype message from Ismail. I'm going to have to, he's going to be trying to call in here so we don't get background noise. I'm going to say on the radio, Ismail's wanting to talk to me, so we'll have to postpone that until after this show. Freddie's cell, Frederick Wells, down in Prescott, Arizona, last August, alleged to have driven a truck on nothing but water that he was electrolyzing on board from his battery to generate hydroxy gas, which is hydrogen and oxygen, commonly ducted under pressure into a fuel rail to run his Dodge 2004 pickup truck.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have to step away for break. We'll pick up right there when we come back with the third technology. Don't go away, folks. More right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Sterling Allen, and we are talking about alternative energy inventions, systems that are ready to go commercial. He calls them emerging technologies, ready to go commercial probably this year. Now, Sterling, when we went to break, you were telling us about this hydroxy water power technology. And then the break took over right while you were in mid-sentence. So let's continue with that. How does this work? What does it do?
Okay. First of all, I realize I've not given out our domain name yet. If people want to check this out, they just go to freeenergynews.com is the easiest domain to remember. We own several, but freeenergynews.com is the easiest to remember. That will dump you to our pezwiki.com page. Well, we've got a listing of the top five. We've got the top stories that we've published, the most recent stories, and then the stories we accumulate from around the web that other people have published that relate to free energy technologies. And when I say free energy, I'm not just referring to these exotic things. I refer to solar is free energy. We don't have to pay for the sun. Wind is free. Geothermal is free energy. And these exotic free energy technologies are just drawing from sources we don't fully understand yet. They might make a physics professor raise the eyebrow, but they're coming from somewhere. And, you know, yesterday's heresy is today's dogma. It's just a matter of time before these technologies will be understood, accepted, and widely implemented. And we're just on the cutting edge, the cusp of these amazing technologies coming forward. So back to this Freddy cell, the hydroxy or water fuel. Let me tell you that there are thousands of people around the planet who are chasing this technology, who are pursuing different iterations and variations of this with varying degrees of success. And various portions of the technology we're talking right now have been replicated a number of times. And so it's not hard for me to believe that somebody such as Freddy could have actually done it. So even though I've not personally seen his system in operation myself yet, I can believe that if not him, somebody is doing it. And so whether or not he actually delivers on his claim, there are others who are just, you know, if not as close, possibly closer or really, you know, tagging close behind. So I don't think we'll see much disappointment on this count. Now, his claim is that by June, he's hoping to have, what, some 230,000 units in production. Now, these are not going to be the full-scale, you know, run on water only. He's not going to go to bite that one off at first, if I understand right. He's going to go with something a little more modest, maybe a 2- to 3-fold improvement in mileage, using the hydroxy gas, using this efficient onboard electrolysis system. So you electrolyze the water into hydrogen, oxygen. It goes into the air intake. It improves the burning of the fuel by some fairly, you know, mechanisms that are coming into understanding, which are not so far outside the box. But it may be a matter of adjusting a knob or two, and eventually you could improve the efficiency. And eventually they will be selling units that will enable your car to run on nothing but water. And the reason that you're able to run on water is because the water is not really the source of the energy. The water is only a catalyst. In the process of electrolyzing the water, from all indications, zero-point energy is showing up. The water is going from the models, the scientific models that are being pursued and even published in peer-reviewed literature recently. It goes into a linear form, so rather than the bipolar shape like a V, the H2O molecule goes linear and has an ionic state to it. So as you burn this hydroxy gas, you've seen these water torches where you can run the torch across your arm, it doesn't burn you. I've personally done this before. You take a torch, you run it across your arm, you barely feel the heat, then you take on the same setting and you put it on a piece of metal, and it immediately starts to melt. And you can sublimate tungsten in a few seconds, which has a melting point of like 6,000 degrees, because it's not a chemical or a heat reaction. It's an electrical reaction that's going on. And so the energy that creates that electrical reaction is not coming from the electrolysis. There's something else going on there. There's energy that's being sucked in from the environment, whether it's zero-point energy or something else. There's excess energy that is showing up that is able to use to drive your car down the road. And so it's futuristic science that's already here and being implemented by a lot of scientists around the world chasing. The key words are hydroxy, HHO, water fuel, Stanley Myers, all of the same ilk.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that's number 3 on our list.
All right, what's number 4?
What's number 4? Let's go back to number 2 really quick from this Skype chat I got from Ismail. He was saying that, he says, I don't know if you'll believe me after I solve the overheating problem and the limit of my technology. The sky is the limit. and our imagination in funding now, it's cheapest and easiest to scale, manufacture, and self-sustain. That's his little comment that he sent to me. Exciting stuff. So back now, let's go to number four. And this one is also the same thing. I can say the same thing about this one that it did about the previous one. There are other people, as well as the first two ones we talked about. Andrea Rossi is not the only one chasing cold fusion technology with success. We published a story a couple weeks ago about an inventor in the Ukraine that has a 230-kilowatt system that he's working on using, I can't remember the name of the metal, but it's allegedly a cold fusion process that was reviewed by an academic committee. And the electrostatic one that we talked about after that, the Avezo electric car, there are a lot of people chasing that one as well. There's a lot of people achieving electromagnetic overunity where they get more energy out than what they put in electronically, because in the process they're pulling in environmental energy and it's serving as a conduit to the energy that's all around us. Nikola Tesla talked about harnessing the very real work of nature, that we would in the future would not be using fuels, burning fuels, and these limited resources. We would be harnessing inexhaustible sources from the environment. So number four is a gravity-based technology. And again, physicists would say, well, that's impossible because you've got to put energy in to get energy out, and where's this energy coming from? But just because you don't see where it's coming from, the question should be, does it work, not how it works? The question of how it works can come later. You know, the academics can play with that for the coming decades. But this guy over in Britain, Bobby Emersingham, of Alpha Omega Galaxy Freefall Generator, I contacted him last September, and he reported that some associates of his had taken his idea, their friends from Rolls-Royce, and they built a 12-kilowatt system using gravity as a source of energy. And that 12-kilowatt system was then sent to a group in Holland who is building a production prototype, which is very close to completion. I keep getting little blurbs from Bobby in the last few days saying he's almost there, they're almost there, just wait, you know. And yes, there's a small chance that this could peter, that somehow they can't replicate it or it wasn't what they thought it was. But there's some really, I see a lot of good reasons to believe that he's got something. And if not him, we published a story 2 days ago in our news about a group here in the United States that has a gravity motor, a group called...
All right, we have to step away for break. We'll pick up right there with the gravity system when we come back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is someone that really knows what's happening with alternative energy, Sterling Allen. And Sterling, as we went away for break, we were talking about the gravity-based system for developing energy. And I want to get to that in just a moment. I want to welcome all of you who are joining us just now in this second hour. You have my sincere sympathy for whatever kept you away from the first hour. We're living on a planet that has burgeoning energy requirements. And that, in the foreseeable future, is not going to slack off. It's going to continue to grow. We know that petroleum is not sustainable, and we know it's not healthy. And if you thought it was unhealthy, just let a few more countries come online like China has and wait and see then what the air is like.
Petroleum is not sustainable. It's not healthy. We do have to move a different direction. We don't have a choice. Nuclear energy. Well, you can produce a lot of energy that way. It's expensive. And it's not safe. Even though there are people who say, well, there are ways to make it safe. Yeah, but they don't. Even if there are ways to make it safe, they don't. And I'm not aware of any way that you can ensure that Mother Nature can't just rise up and just slap the snot out of a nuclear power plant. We've seen it happen in Japan. So, you know, Mother Nature, if Mother Nature decides to put a power plant in critical condition, it can happen in a matter of seconds. And so we've got to find other ways. That's what my guest is talking with us about here tonight, Sterling Allen. Sterling, we were talking about this gravity-based system for generating energy, and we got cut off by the break. You said this is, they're building a prototype now, right?
If that's okay. You know, we're not only talking about solutions in terms of technology-wise, we're talking about things that are going to be as cheap, if not cheaper than what we're paying from the grid right now, the coal and natural gas. In Utah, we have about the cheapest power on the planet at 4 cents a kilowatt hour. And this Rossi cold fusion technology is going to come in at 1 cent a kilowatt hour, four times cheaper. And there's no nuclear waste. If this thing was hit with a comet, it would not go into meltdown mode. It would just stop working.
Mm-hmm.
And the gases, the hydrogen gas that goes into it, that's it. I mean, it's safe, so to speak. I mean, we have hydrogen in the air around us, breathing it all the time. It's a key component in water. And nickel is super cheap, and you're not going to be hurt by nickel and hydrogen being released into the environment. There's no nuclear stuff that's going to be released in the environment. So if you had a Rossi cold fusion powered car going down the road and you got in an accident, no big deal.
Okay, good enough. Let's go back to the gravity-based system. It is in prototype development now. There's a prototype being built.
And when I say prototype, I'm not just talking a prototype to demonstrate. I'm talking a prototype to go into production.
Oh, okay.
A prototype that is ready to hit the copy button and to go into mass production around the planet. There are people who are lining up for licensing to go into production with this technology. And this one's super cheap and easy as well. This one's so easy that your average garage mechanic who fixes your car could make one of these.
Okay, now it's 12 kilowatts. Is that enough to run an average house?
12 kilowatts is enough to run, if you had a battery backup system so that you could store energy from when you're not needing it, you could run probably 6 to 8 houses comfortably on 12 kilowatts.
So definitely you could run one.
If you were conservative on your usage of when you have multiple items running, you've got your AC running, your washer and dryer, if you were careful, you could keep a house going with 12 kilowatts no problem without any battery storage.
Mm-hmm.
A typical home, kind of a rule of thumb is that 5% of peak is your average. So your average usage may be, for example, 1 kilowatt, and your peak would be like 20 kilowatts. But the average home is about 1.5 kilowatts. If you could store that energy, would be enough to run a house.
Okay, now you talk about using batteries for storage. What type of batteries? Any special type, or would automobile batteries work?
The same kind of thing you have in a solar system, the deep cycle. That industry is very well developed. You've got your inverters and stuff like that. And, of course, that would increase your price. And so you might be better off, rather than having the generator plus the battery backup and the inverters and all that, just having two systems so you can handle the full 24 kilowatts.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, by the time these things are all manufactured and packaged and stuff, version 1 is going to be a little rough compared to what will be version 2 in 6 months from now, where it'll be able to handle the load much more easily, be higher power output. He's got all kinds of variations that he'll be coming out with. And I was starting to mention that if he, for some reason, if doesn't materialize, we posted a story yesterday in our news about a company in the United States, OBM Global, has a multiple angular force generator that they say is nearing production. It says it combines the principles of gravity, momentum, and centrifugal force. They plan to lease rather than sell the generator, starting with 240 kilowatts and a 1 megawatt system. So, you know, this huge amount of power for like a apartment complex or a small municipality, commencing later this month with the first installations in June. So these guys say that they're ready to rock and roll too.
Okay, now, for instance, this the system that you just told us about, what sort of energy does it take to start the thing and to keep it running? You have to have gasoline to do this? Do you have to?
Well, you could have a. Think of your automobile. You have a little starter motor that gets the engine going. Once the engine's turning, you have a lot of power. And that power is used to charge your battery, which can then start up your engine again next time around. Mm-hmm. And it only takes just a minute or two to top that battery back up to replenish it and what it took to get the engine running in the first place.
Yeah, but the engine is actually running on gasoline.
Right, but in this case, the gasoline is the energy coming from the environment, from the forces of gravity, momentum, and centrifugal force, supposedly.
Okay. What is system number 5?
If the thing going can be easily replenished, you know, once you've got the system going, then it's doing its harnessing, and it's pulling in that energy freely, as long as you keep it running. And then if you have to stop it, then, yeah, you'll have to get it going again, and it'll take maybe a battery to do that, but it won't take much energy. And the amount of energy you get once it's running will be more than ample to recharge your starting system.
Okay. What's the fifth system in your top 5?
Okay. Number 5 is called Plasmerg, is the name of the company, and it's a noble gas engine. A noble gas on the periodic chart of elements is the one over on the right-hand side. They're happy. They've got all the electron shells full. They don't want to react with anything. The helium, xenon, these types of gases are called inert. They don't combust. They're very safe, and they're ubiquitous and cheap. And what these guys have been able to do, this is based on Joseph Papp, who was an inventor who passed away about a decade ago, and we've been working on this for, you know, it's been ongoing for about 30 years that people have been working on this technology, and there are several groups working on this one as well with varying levels of success. Plasmerg, from what I can tell, is the furthest along, and they are ready to go into production, but they're waiting for their patent to get approved, which is supposed to happen July, August of this year. They had thought it was going to be approved last November, and they had made some last-minute changes which put back the date of approval. So they need that protection so that they can roll out the technology. They're also need to get some pretty significant funding. They're willing to sell 51% of the company. All that stuff, you can contact the company to talk through all that stuff. But what the technology does is we're talking about the noble gas goes through a piston and goes in vicinity of these, for lack of better analogy, the Tesla coil. And it gets energized or ionized, and then it's hit with a super high voltage, and it actually goes into a plasma state, and for a billionth of a second, it's 4,000 degrees hotter than the surface of the sun. At just one particular point, the point of reaction, and there may be, apparently there's a fusion reaction going on, followed by some fission reactions going on, and so that the net result is in each cycle, as this piston goes back and forth in this engine, maybe one or two atoms of the inert gas are being consumed. And so because it's all contained inside, you're not having to feed the gas in there. It basically runs on the gas that's in the chamber until it runs out, or until it gets diluted enough that you need to replenish that. So a canister that costs 71 cents could run an engine for 3 months. And the engine itself is so simple to manufacture because of so few moving parts. All you have is two piston arms with two pistons and the crankshaft. That's basically the essence of the motor itself. It's one-third the cost of what a comparable engine that it would be replacing would cost. And it's more has more power density, so it would be smaller. And so the cost is much lower for the engine, and the fuel is almost negligible. And you could buy the fuel from a canister at Walmart because it's inert gas, it's safe. If it were to be punctured or violated somehow, it would not blow up or explode or do anything else. It's safe. It's not toxic. And so this is a very, very safe technology, even though there's a nuclear process going on in there. And they are working with some universities to help characterize just what is going on. And they're also lining up licensees and funding for the technology.
Okay, now with this plasmerg engine, would this engine be used to generate electricity, or would it be used to drive an automobile? How would you use this engine?
All of the above. Anywhere you have an engine nowadays, this could replace it.
Okay.
So the engine in your car, the engine in a genset to generate electricity, the engine in a municipal power plant, anywhere you have a engine or motor. Now, it's going to be difficult to scale down too small at first. I mean, maybe 50 years from now they'll have very small versions of this. But, you know, basically everything from about, right now, 1 kilowatt and above, this thing can handle. And they'll start in the region of 5 kilowatts. And this one would also be super cheap. About the same price point as we were talking about with the Rossi cold fusion technology. And it would be more robust than the Rossi one. And the reason it's not ahead of the Rossi one is because of the setbacks they'd have in getting the approvals. They're not as far along as the Rossi cold fusion technology is.
But if they get the approvals, you would think it's a better technology than the Rossi?
I think I would put it above that one.
And why?
Because of the cost, the ease of manufacture, the ease of the fuel. But they're pretty close contenders. You know, we're not talking a huge difference between them price point wise and practicality wise in terms of the scalability and the number of applications that it could work on.
Okay, so how do you get the plasmerg engine started? Do you have to have a battery, or are you using AC current? How do you get it going?
Yeah, that one would have a battery involved,
mm-hmm.
and it would not be consuming very much from the battery, and then the battery would be replenished. This would be very similar to the paradigm of your car, where you'd have a battery that you get it started. Once it started, it would then replenish the battery through an alternator, and you would have that rotation motion that you could either be using to turn your car or that you could be using to power a generator. At first, this technology is going to be best suited to a continuous speed operation. It's not going to, you know, this is in the Wright Brothers stage, so to speak. You know, I don't think they have the engineering up well enough to be able to govern it up and down in speed.
Mm-hmm.
At the kind of responsiveness that you would want to drive a vehicle. So rather than being a direct drive to your wheels, it might be used in the trunk of your car to keep your batteries topped off.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of an all-on, off-or-on scenario. And as your batteries get below a certain point, the generator turns on, recharges your batteries, and basically you have an electric vehicle like a standard electric vehicle, except that the power source is on board and could last. I mean, 3 months continuous is what it's capable of, and you don't need 3 months continuous for a vehicle. You only need it when you're driving. And so if you don't use your car very much, one tank of fuel could last you 3 years, and it costs you 71 cents.
All right. Now, I think everyone is familiar with either gasoline-powered or diesel-powered generators.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've lived in some very remote places on this planet and have had generators. One of the huge problems you have with a generator, I'm about to tell two of them from experience. Huge problem you have with generators if you're using it in a place that's very remote, or if you're using it after some big catastrophe, is you are going to run out of fuel. And then availability of fuel for that generator is a problem. Another big problem you have, even if you have plenty of fuel, is when do you need the generator most? Well, generally, when the sun goes down. And they're generally loud enough that all your neighbors are not happy. What about this Plasmerg engine? Is this a noisy process?
It's, from what I understand, it's about as loud as a refrigerator.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad at all. Okay, what about this gravity-based system?
That one's going to be a little louder, but not too bad. But that one is going to be the loudest of all the systems we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of motion going on, a lot of kinetic energy going around. And, that one's going to be more noisy. You probably want to have some kind of a soundproof shielding around it to mitigate the sound a little bit. The MEG, the one we talked about, the second one on the list, would be almost silent. It would be about the same sound as a transformer. You get a little bit of a buzz going on.
So this is the Aviso system?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no moving parts there, but you do have, electrons and the power surges and whatnot, the discharges and charges, and you've got a lot of stuff going on there electronically, which is going to create some humming.
All right, what about this hydroxy, I think you called it Freddy cells?
That one is going to be involved in an engine, running an engine, so you'll have all the engine noises with that one.
Mm-hmm.
But the several of these that we've talked about, like the gravity one,
mm-hmm.
is not going to care about whether the sun's up or down, or whether the wind's blowing, or whether it's night or day, or whether you have fuel, because the fuel is always present.
Yeah, it's gravity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with the MEG, the Aviso's MEG. Now, you don't have any fuel issues there because the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to wear out some stuff. You're going to need to replace bearings and do some servicing. And depending on how well it's engineered, those things will be minimal. And just like with the computer industry, the price is going to go down. The compactness is going to go down. So things are going to get more compact, cheaper, and quieter. We're really coming into a new revolution, and I can't help but think that the reason these things have not come out is not only have they been suppressed because they make oil and nuclear obsolete, which is the tools by which the conspiracy keeps themselves in power. If you were able to go anywhere you want without stopping, now all of a sudden you have true freedom. You can build anywhere you want. And, of course, we have to be careful. We have to, we don't want to just go trash the planet because we can build on the top of a mountain or maybe use some anti-gravity technology and go build a floating city somewhere. We're going to need to be enlightened and not use this technology to destroy each other. And that's one of the reasons why I believe the technology hasn't come out until now, because society has not been mature enough. But we are now. I think we're coming into a place where society's growing up really fast, and how corrupt society has been is part of our education process. It's in our face. It's so corrupt. Anyone looking at Building 7 coming down on World Trade Center Building 7 that just thinks for a second is going to know that that was a pre-placed demolition charges in there and that that was a false flag operation. And you have to be in serious denial to not see that. And there's so much like that around us where these guys are, their corruptness is so over the top that once you just wake up and realize that what's going on, you know that we're really screwed and that we need something serious to turn things around. And this free energy technology we're talking about is a tangible solution to the problems that we're facing, both in terms of giving us the power that we need to empower us individually to pursue our dreams, as well as to create a productive capacity that Gerald Celente talked about, the thing that could turn this around to keep us from going into total meltdown that he actually predicts for 2011, is the emergence of a free energy technology outside of the conventional solar, wind, geothermal, tide, something truly revolutionary, something truly groundbreaking. It would be like the invention of the wheel. That's what we're seeing in these technologies. It will create jobs. It will create hope and enthusiasm. And Carolyn, or Catherine Austin Fitz, I believe it is, did a study, or at least talked about a study in one of the programs I was listening to her on, where when a person is doing what they love, they are seven times more productive than when they're doing something they have to do because it's a job to get by and to survive. And when people start having the ability to not have to work just to survive, but they can follow their dreams, imagine how quickly we can turn things around on this planet and to be peaceful and productive and clean and not be trashing the planet. That's one of the lessons of the present society with Fukushima, with the Gulf oil crisis, is we've got to stop trashing this planet to get our energy. And these energy sources provide those kinds of answers.
Okay, we've only got about a minute here before we go to break. So you'll have to answer fairly quickly, and that's not fair, but the clock is not fair. You said it will provide jobs. Do you think these new sources of these new technologies for energy will provide enough jobs to replace the jobs that will be lost, for instance, in the oil industry when these technologies proliferate?
Absolutely.
Well, that was quick. Okay. Jobs in the petroleum industry are not just related to the drilling of the well or the refining of the product. It's all of the spinoffs, all the people manufacturing the parts that go into that, manufacturing the chemicals that go into that, all the people that crew the ships that transport it. You think all that can be replaced with these technologies?
Yep. Just, they said the same thing about the computer industry. When computers came along, look at all the people it's going to put out of work. But look at all the new jobs it created.
Fair enough. We have to step away for break. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking this evening with Sterling Allen. And Sterling, before we went to break, I'd ask you about the impact upon employment these new technologies may have. I want to talk a little bit about someone you mentioned earlier and impact that particular person and his story has upon emerging technologies. You mentioned Stanley Myers, and I think almost everyone is familiar with Stanley Myers. He is the inventor that some people say was knocked off as a result of having invented a system for basically running automobiles on water. I don't know. I mean, it looks very suspicious. I don't know for sure that he was assassinated, but he certainly had a very untimely death. And
that was actually one of the clearer cases of assassination. There's a number of legends that go around about inventors that have been suppressed. We've got a page on our site at pezwiki.com about the list of suppressed inventors and technologies. There's some 40 different instances or inventors in their companies that were intimidated, threatened, bought out, killed, etc. In his case, he was in a restaurant. He stood up. He said, "I've been poisoned," and he keeled over. I mean, it doesn't get a little more obvious than that. I mean, that's pretty straightforward.
Okay, now let's talk about the impact that has on emerging technologies. If I'm an inventor and I've got one of these great new technologies and it's going to revolutionize the energy industry, I need some really big, bad bodyguards around me all the time, right?
Yes and no. My philosophy is that the bullies thrive on fear. And if you don't give them the benefit of fear, they don't have control over you.
I agree with that.
So I just go forward with confidence and just do the right thing, and I don't worry about what might happen to me or to my family. I just move forward. And there are inventors who go into a paranoid mode and worry what's going to happen to me if I do this. The technology that should be number one in this list is being held back for that very reason. He does not want to go there. Been powering his house for a year and a half with a 20-kilowatt load-following magnet motor. It's ready to go. All you have to do is just put it into a CNC machine and print it out, put the magnets in it, and off it goes. I mean, we're talking cheap power, easy to do, ready to go into manufacturing, but he doesn't want to do it yet. He's willing to be bought out if somebody wants to pay $50 million to just buy him out if they can take, you know, he doesn't want it shelved. If you've got $50 million, you can put in escrow, you see his demonstration, he'll give it to you. But there's somebody, you know, what if somebody else comes along who is able to do the same thing he did and just invent the technology and open source it? And I know somebody who's working along those lines who is extremely gifted. He's a genius. And he actually was given the commission when he was 30. He's now almost 70, that he was going to invent a magnet motor that would change the planet.
What stopped him?
In a recent meeting I had with him present, he's on it now. He's going to finally, feels like it's time.
What has stopped him? What's delayed his progress?
Just a lot of cool projects he's been on. He hasn't felt like it's time yet. He's been plenty productive in working on other things. You know, if I gave his name and some of the stuff he's invented, you would most of your audience would recognize the name and his inventions.
I think I know who you're talking about. I'm not sure. I'll tell you after the show, and if that's who it is, he's actually been a guest on this show. If that's the same person. Okay, so what you're saying then is that the inventors really should just not go into this paranoid mode, and they really ought to just come out with it.
Yeah, that's my take on it. I like to look at it as a heroic, an act of revolution to come out with a technology. Not just as the inventor, but as a support team. There's, as you mentioned, there's a lot of auxiliary technologies and tasks that are involved in any one of these endeavors. You have the legal expertise. You need the business expertise, the marketing expertise, the website upkeep. You've got the building of the things. You've got the selling of the things. You've got the open sourcing. You've got the maintenance of the web page. You've got the updating of the plans. You've got the collecting of the revenues to send to the inventor, the 5% that they might want. Even though they're open sourcing, they still deserve to get royalties for any commercial ventures.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that anyone in your audience who's feeling a buzz about this stuff, they need to follow the dream. There is a way to make a living in any number of these industries we've talked about tonight and others that we've not gotten to yet. You can make a career out of this stuff even now. This is an emerging, this is the future. This is a revolutionary act against the New World Order to empower the individual and to go forward and to basically say, sorry, we're not going to play your game of poverty and scarcity and control. We are taking the power to ourselves, and we're going to rise up from this, and we're not under your control.
But if I'm an inventor, the Stanley Myers case cannot, I can't avoid the fact of knowing that this is a guy that just went forward and got killed for it. And I don't want that to happen to me as an inventor.
Or buyouts or threats that will take place. But I tell you that from my vantage point, that stuff is a lot less common than it was in the past. That basically these guys know their days are numbered. And they're so busy taking down the economy and these other things that I think they consider free energy a lost cause, and they're just basically, it's almost like they've thrown up their hands and say, the genie's out of the bottle, we can't stop this one. So let's just do as much as we can to destroy this planet while we can. It's like the abusive husband who's on his way out is going to throw things around the house and smash as much as he can, but the cops are on their way and he's just about done.
Two of these technologies you have mentioned in telling us about them, on two of them you've told us, you've mentioned Tesla, something about Tesla being used there. What's Tesla's role in these emerging technologies?
He is the number one inspiration for any inventor, whether it's cold fusion or noble gas, which is not stuff that Tesla worked on his lifetime, but he is seen as the genius, bar none, on this planet thus far. He was 100 years ahead of his day then, and we're just now starting to catch up now. He invented the 20th century with AC power, radio, etc., inductive motor. And his technologies will also be probably the bedrock of the 21st century.
You know, you mentioned radio. I find it interesting because I'm in radio. So many people believe that radio, wireless radio, was invented by Marconi. It wasn't. It was invented by Tesla, and that's been so ruled by the Supreme Court. Tesla, you know, he also, every time you get a speeding ticket, thank Tesla, because he invented the principles of the radar systems that they use to catch you speeding. But you're right. Tesla was absolutely brilliant. You know how many people, though, think Edison invented our electric lights that we use? It wasn't Edison. The electricity that we use was invented by Tesla.
Yeah, the AC power and the inductive mm-hmm. motors, yep.
Yeah. So in all of these emerging technologies, Tesla is finally beginning to get his recognition, isn't he?
Yeah, finally. And it may be, too, that the irony is that we may be going back to DC power when we get localized power. One of the advantages of AC power is you can transmit it over long distances.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get back to some of other technologies of Nikola Tesla, we may be able to shift back to DC, which is more efficient.
Yeah, it's more efficient, except in transmission, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because you get a, I think with DC power, you had to have another station to boost it along about, wasn't it about every mile?
No, those high power transmission lines, they go, great distances.
No, I'm talking about DC power under Edison. Wasn't it a boost station about every mile?
Oh, yeah, something like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay, now, you've also mentioned here something called over-unity. And for those of you listening who are not familiar with the term, it means a device that's putting out more power than it's taking in, okay? So it's over unity. For instance, then, you've got so much energy going into a device that's generating energy, but what it's generating is 100% plus.
Yeah.
And so it's over unity. And you've mentioned at least one device here that is doing over unity. Now, the experts say it can't do that.
And what I say is that any free energy device is over unity because you get more out than what you put in. You put a solar panel up on your roof and you get more energy out than what you put in because you're harnessing the sun's rays. And you put a wind turbine up and you're harnessing the wind power. You put one of these Aviso generators on your electric vehicle to keep your battery topped off. It's just harnessing electrostatic energy from the surroundings. It's not magic. It's science.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fully understood yet, but it's not voodoo. Just because we can't see it, just because science hasn't wrapped their head around it yet, doesn't mean it's impossible. Scientists said 100-plus years ago that men would never be able to fly. They were obviously wrong on that one. And it took them 4 years to admit they were wrong when people were flying around.
Well, I go you one better. Orville Wright, 2 years before the famous flight at Kitty Hawk, Orville Wright said it was at least 50 years away. So even he was wrong.
Yeah.
And, what's interesting, though, is as there is a breakthrough in technology, it seems like it's sort of a snowball effect after that. And all of a sudden, that breakthrough just becomes a proliferation of technology. Now, a good example of that is the cell phone. Remember when the first cell phones came out? They looked like a brick. They were huge. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
And today, you can wear a cell phone as an earpiece. And, they're tiny. And there's been a proliferation of technologies that go along with it. There are people tonight who are watching this show on their iPhones. And, just a few years ago, they were talking about someday we'll be able to get the internet on our cell phones. That wasn't all that long ago. That was just a few years ago. Now we got the internet, and not only the internet, you can watch movies, or you can watch live video. Hey, we have to step away for break. I'm going to let you pick up right there when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Sterling Allen. And Sterling, as we went to break, I just made some comments about cell phones. You just started to make a comment and the break took over. So I want to give you the opportunity to complete your thought there.
Sure. I was just mentioning in line of what you said that I'd mentioned that Ismael Aviso from the Philippines had Skyped earlier And I told him I was on the show. He's now listening live there in the Philippines in nominally a third world type condition. And, you know, who would have thought something like that would be possible even 10 years ago? I want to, talking about over unity, I want to give your audience a tool that they can use to talk to the scientific types to help argue on the behalf of over unity and free energy. The heat pump on your refrigerator that enables your refrigerator to cool down the food on the inside is a system that uses what's called a coefficient of performance. And it's been known for years in the scientific community that a heat pump can produce more energy than what it consumes. And the source of energy is the heat in the environment around us. And that the heat pump apparently is able to harness that heat and use it to help propel the engine or the motor that, you know, pumps the heat one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so just remind them that the heat pump is not magic, and it's over unity, so to speak. And that's no more, you know, magic than what these other technologies that we're talking about. It's just new science. It may require some rewriting of some physics, looking at new principles, but it's not voodoo. It's not pulling energy from nowhere. And some inventors actually think they're pulling energy from nowhere because they can't see where it's coming from. So they'll use words like perpetual motion or even free energy in the sense that it's often used to refer to energy from nothing. But I personally, my take is that energy is converted from one place to another in any of these modalities. And it's just a matter of time before we figure out how that works. But the question right now is, does it work? And we're mavericks at freeenergynews.com. We're willing to look at technologies. In fact, that's when we start getting interested, is when something seems to fly in the face of physics as we know it. And we befriend and help and facilitate those types of technologies. So our top five exotic technologies are of that ilk. And our whole website kind of is geared in that direction. And so, again, I would like to urge your audience to follow your heart and support the resistance and get involved in free energy, learning about it, donating, tinkering, building, going into business, and support this new industry, which will be bigger than anything we've seen. It will surpass the Internet revolution. It will surpass anything we've seen thus far. It's going to be huge.
It's interesting that you talk about support the resistance, and you do see this as a resistance against the New World Order, don't you?
Yeah.
What if the New World Order were to be smart and co-opt this and say, you know what, we can't stop it, so let's get in on it?
Well, the thing is, they have been in on it. Where do you think they get the power to fly these UFO craft? A lot of the stuff we see in the skies is stuff that humans have built using absconded and sequestered technology. They're not giving it to the people. It reminds me of the scripture in Isaiah that says that the shepherds feed themselves and they don't feed the flock.
Mm-hmm.
These guys abscond all this technology for their black op operations. They use trillions of dollars of taxpayer money, off-budget, black-budget stuff, and they've had this kind of technology for decades. And, you know, they're way beyond, you know, it's going to take us a while to catch up. But the thing is, it's now time for the people to get this, and it's going to come from a grassroots movement, and they're not going to be able to stop it.
Okay, so just the fact of us getting the technology is the resistance, because it takes us out of their modality of controlling us via the energy and thus the food, right?
Exactly. They cannot control us. They cannot manipulate us when we can live on our own without their input.
Fair enough. Okay, now, I want to go back to Tesla for a moment. And you've made some statements, or you've made the statement several times, this is not magic, this is not voodoo. And the story that's out there about Tesla, when he installed a system into an automobile, a Pierce Arrow, as a matter of fact, And it was an electric motor as opposed to internal combustion. He installed a little black box that he built, and it powered up the system. He drove it around. The mayor of New York drove it around. Some reporters drove it around. It was a big, big deal. It was all over the newspapers. And then somebody came out with some articles saying that he's able to do this because he cavorts with the black forces, the dark forces of the universe. And it ticked him off. And he took his black box out of the car, and he said, fine, have a good time. He went back to his home or his lab, and nobody ever saw this box again. And he never left any blueprints or explanation about how he built it or what it was. Now, I don't know that that story is true, but I have read that story in a lot of different places. That the reason we don't have this technology right now is because some really, really brilliant people accused him of cavorting with the dark forces. Basically accused him of voodoo. What do you know about that story? Is that true?
What you just described is more than what I've known, but I will tell you that it's consistent with what I've heard, and that's, again, what Ismael Aviso down in the Philippines appears to be doing. And not just him, but a lot of other people are replicating that kind of effect where they basically have an antenna that pulls in these high frequencies. They short it out at a high frequency, and those pulses are then put into capacitors. And I don't quite have my head wrapped around exactly how it's done, but there's a lot of people playing with that one with success.
Mm-hmm.
It could be in the marketplace in an open source. See, here's something I'd like to end with. This Ismael Aviso is willing to open source his technology, but it takes quite a bit of money to do what he's doing. He needs about $5 million to finish the research and development and get a production plant. One of the components in his system will require, it can't really be built by each inventor or each replicator. It's a little bit too complicated. So he would manufacture that part, and that's why he needs the money. He can go to investors. He's got investors lined up at the door wanting in, but they all want control. They want, a lot more than, usually quite greedy. And if we could support him through donations so he wouldn't have to get as many investors, he would be able to publish these things in an open source manner, so that you could then start up cottage industries all over the planet, and in a short period of time, in a matter of weeks, start converting thousands of vehicles around the planet to run on the Tesla type, the Pierce Arrow type of scenario that you just described. He's willing to do that. If you go to avisotechnologies.com, it's his website, and you can contribute there, or you can go to our site. We've got a link from our website at freeenergynews.com. On our home page there, you'll see a list of the top five exotics and the most recent news and whatnot. And there's a link there to contribute as well.
Okay. Sterling, we are up against the end of the show. I want to thank you for being with us this evening. And if you will, just stay online with me for a moment as we come to the close of the show. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. One of the major voices in this whole thing of alternative energy and emerging technologies, Sterling Allen. Be sure you visit his website. If you go to my website, click his picture, it will take you to his website. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.